from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news first, the headline. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala visits Afghanistan. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites Christine Lagarde to visit Pertamina Hospital. Russia ready to help Indonesia to strengthen its military. Now the news in details. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala left for Afghanistan in the morning here on Tuesday for a visit until March 1st that will include sharing his experience with regard to Afghanistan's peace process. He and his entourage were seen off by Coordinating Minister for Political Security and Legal Affairs Wiranto, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan. The visit was made as a follow-up to Indonesia's support to the peace process in Afghanistan following Kala's meeting with the Afghan High Peace Council delegation at his office recently in the company of Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Afghan Ambassador Roya Rahmani. On the occasion, Minister Retno said that the meeting was a follow-up to discussion on peace process and realization in Afghanistan, which Indonesia fully supports. She said Indonesia has been given a trust or is acceptable to be contributor to the peace process in Afghanistan. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited IMF Managing Director of International Monetary Fund Christine Lagarde to review a number of locations in Jakarta after they met at the Merdeka Palace on Monday, February 26. The first location was Pertamina Central Hospital, RSPP, in Kebayoran Baru, South Jakarta. During the visit, the President invited Christine to review services for Healthy Card Indonesia, or KIS, and the Social Security System for Health. The President admitted that he is proud of Indonesia to have a health service program on the Social Security Administration body, PPJS of Health and Kartu Indonesia Sehat, or the Healthy Card, KIS. President also said many countries have assessed that the health insurance program managed by Indonesia is quite large. We want to show that Indonesia has a social security system for health named PPJS and Kartu Indonesia Sehat KIS. For KIS, it is now already 92.4 million. Total of 193.1 million PPJS we have given to the community. During a meeting at the palace, Madame Lagarde asked me to see our health insurance system and its services. Meanwhile, IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde appreciated the Indonesian government's ability to run the social security system for its people. When conducting a review to the RSVP, the president invited the guests to see the conditions of the first and third class patients' rooms. When visiting the third class patients' room, the president explained to Christine Lagarde that the room facility is provided to patients free of charge. The Indonesian Monetary Fund IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde said that Indonesia has a great strength in the textile and trading industries. This was said by Christine Lagarde when she was accompanied by President Joko Widodo visited Tanah Abang Market in Jakarta on Monday, February 26. On the occasion, Lagarde praised the economic reforms by Joko Widodo's government, one of them with the increasingly easy licensing for small and medium enterprises, SME sector.
I was impressed by the program of reforms that the president is leading, in particular the simplification for SMEs, which next month will be able to register in one single place with one single registration. And I really hope that he and his team will continue the good reforms in infrastructure, in education, and also in social affairs. I'm convinced that there will be continued progress because the global economy itself is doing much better this year, and we believe next year, than it did in the past.
Meanwhile, on the same occasion, President Joko Widodo explained his reason to invite Christine Lagarde to visit Tanah Abang Market. The president wanted to show the dominance of micro, small, medium enterprises, UMKM sector in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo also said that he had discussed the efforts of UMKM entrepreneurs facing the challenge of openness and economic digitalization with Christine Lagarde during a meeting at the Merdeka Palace before they visited Tanah Abang, the largest textile wholesale center in Southeast Asia. Russia expressed its readiness to help Indonesia in developing and strengthening its military field. This was conveyed by the military attaché of the Russian embassy to Indonesia, Colonel Nikolai Nikolayuk, in his speech on the commemorations of the Russian Armed Forces Day in Jakarta on Monday, February 26. Nikolayuk said that currently the relationship between the two countries has reached a new phase, especially in the military field. He then asserted that Russia is ready to help Indonesia in developing and strengthening its military as far as Indonesia needs.
Nowadays, we have a new stage of our relationship in the field of defense. We have very active military technical cooperation. Step by step, we increase our military links. And I think recently you heard about some practical result of this cooperation. And it is necessary to highlight that Russian Federation is ready to develop this process as deep as Indonesia ready to do it.
Nikolayuk added that the relationship between Russia and Indonesia has a very long history. He said that since the beginning of Indonesian independence, Russia has provided political and military support since the independence of Indonesia in 1945. Colonel Nikolai Nikolayuk said Indonesia and Russia also have a good tradition and extensive cooperation experience, which can be a good basis for further development of friendly relations between the two countries. The annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and World Bank from October 8 to 14, 2018 in Bali will increase the circulation of money on the island to a minimum of $100 million or 1.3 trillion rupiah. The head of the 2018 IMF World Bank Annual Meeting Task Force, Peter Jacobs, stated in Jakarta on Monday that the figure was based on hotel room rate, airline tickets and transportation services to be used by 15,000 delegates from around the world. He noted it is only a minimal amount because it has not been added with, for instance, the tour expenditures or other expenses made by the 15,000 delegates. The value of the circulated money has excluded the investment agreements or business agreements, which will be approved by the delegates at the meeting. The Indonesian government, as the organizing committee, has estimated that the annual meeting of IMF World Bank 2018 will bring in 4,000 official delegations at the level of ministers and the central bank governor of 189 IMF World Bank member countries. The summit of the 2018 IMF World Bank meeting will take place from October 12 to 14, 2018. The Press Council will supervise the campaign advertisements in the mass media, Press Council Chairman Joseph Stanley Andi Prasetyo said on Tuesday, February 27. Supervision will be conducted on all news in the media, including breaking news and running text on television. Stanley also said sometimes breaking news does not display news from the general election process, but the activities of the party chairman and other content which included the ad campaign. Likewise, with running text, it could display the content of campaign ads or observer speech that contains blasphemy against the party or the opponent of election candidates. The Press Council will also monitor live broadcast show. Stanley said that although there is a realm of political parties to conduct socialization, not all of them can be regarded as party socialization. The press freedom should not be intervened, and it is regulated in the act that the offender may be subject to criminal penalties. The last item. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PLN will connect Gili Gede, a small island with great tourism potential in West Nusa Tenggara, with an undersea cable network to Lombok Island to supply electricity for both households and to support tourism on the island. PLN General Manager for West Nusa Tenggara, Mukhtar, said on Monday, February 20. 6. That the company will connect Gili Gede to the Lombok electricity system. He added that PLN would construct 2.4 km undersea cables with a capacity of 20 kV each. There are 450 households on the 4 square kilometer island, which also has beautiful beaches and underwater scenery for tourism. Mukhtar also said that Lombok currently had surplus electricity supply, which could be distributed to Gili Gede. The efforts to electrify remote areas in West Nusa Tenggara has faced difficulties relating to the transportation of materials. PLN needed to transport the materials to construct the electricity infrastructure with traditional carts from one point to another, said Mukhtar, adding that the transportation of materials to Gili Gede was also frequently disrupted by high tides. Listener, that was the news of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Blue Sukarno, IMF Managing Director. Managing Director of International Monetary Fund, IMF, Christine Lagarde, arrived in Indonesia February 26, 2016. Christine, who is the first woman, is holding the highest position the IMF became key speaker at the meeting held by Bank Indonesia and IMF on February 27, 2018. Twitter account at IMF informs that the focus of the event was the analysis of global trends and how countries adapt to global change while still prospering. Another agenda was to discuss the latest economic developments and prospect of Indonesia, as well as the World Bank's annual meeting in Nusa Dua Bali in October 2018. These two issues were central to her meeting with Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the State Palace. Interestingly, Christine Lagarde, was also invited by President Joko Widodo to Blusukan, which means to check on the spot, to two places, namely Pertamina Central Hospital and Tanaban Wholesale Center. At Pertamina Central Hospital, Christina witnessed services for Healthy Card Indonesian participant, as well as social security system for health. In particular, Christine expressed that she was impressed with the free health service for the more than 90 million people and offered a salute to President Joko Widodo. The second place that became her Blusukan destination is Tanah Abang Wholesale Center. In the place, there are approximately 90,000 stalls and it is the largest in Southeast Asia. Christine directly witnessed the enthusiasm, energy, and service of small and medium-sized micro-businesses. She views that all of this was the dynamism of Indonesian society and economy. By looking directly at health services and micro-small and medium enterprises in Jakarta, it is expected that many things can be promoted by the IMED Managing Director Christine Lagarde about Indonesia to the world. These two things could be material in the implementation of annual meetings of the World Bank and IMF next October. Indeed, Indonesia is carrying out a campaign called Voyage to Indonesia 2018 as a series of activities ahead of the upcoming IMF annual meeting. It is expected that the visit of the IMF Managing Director will have a positive impact to attract investors to invest in the health sector. Christine Lagarde herself bought a cocoa third at Tanah Abang. Of course, this will also be a direct promotion of small and medium enterprises in Indonesia. It is hoped that not only to attract thousands of participants of the IMF annual meetings to participate in buying the small and micro products, but also to open the export gate of Indonesian's small and medium enterprises products. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I start with February the 27th, 1971. Professor Dr. Suharto passed away. Professor Suharto is a humanitarian fighter who was born on May the 13th, 1912 in Kembang Village, Ampel District, Boyolali. In 1945, Dr. Suharto and his colleagues formed a branch of Indonesian Red Cross, or PMI, in Surakarta to assist independence fighters then. In 1946, he was called to make prosthesis and orthosa because so many young freedom fighters were disabled by the war. Thanks to the sincerity of his humanitarian struggle, Dr. Suharto gained various awards both from home and abroad. He died on February the 27th, 1971, and was buried in Seboto, Ampel District, Boyolali. The state awarded Suharto a National Hero title through a presidential decree on November the 6th, 1973. In addition to a hospital and street names in Solo, Suharto's name is also immortalized as the name of a warship belonging to the Indonesian Navy. Over now to February 27, 2007, the Pagaruyung Palace in West Sumatra burned down to the ground. Istana Basa Pagaruyung, or known as Pagaruyung Palace, is located in the complex of the Minangkabau Royal Palace in Batu Sangkar Town, Tanah Datar, West Sumatra. On Tuesday, February the 27, 2007, at around 19 past 10, at around 7 p.m., the Pagaruyung Palace complex was burnt down due to a lightning strike. As a result, not only the three-story building was burnt down, but also some documents and traditional decorative fabrics. were also perished. It is estimated that only about 15% of the valuables survived. The items that escaped the fire are now stored in the Object of Antiquities of County Tanah Datar. The Pagaruyung Kingdom Heritage Treasury itself is housed in Istano Silinduang Bulan, 2 kilometers from Istano Basa. The Pagaruyung Palace was rebuilt on July 8, 2007. Today in history will end with February 27, 2010, an earthquake devastated Chile and causes tsunami in countries facing the Pacific Ocean. An earthquake measuring approximately 8.8 on the Richter scale shook the northern coast of Chile in the early morning at exactly 3:24 a.m. The quake caused casualties and destroyed various buildings. Based on data compiled on March 30, 2010, the death toll was 432. The quake caused tsunami crossing the Pacific Ocean, reaching up to New Zealand, Australia, the Hawaiian archipelago, the Pacific Island countries, and Japan with mild and intermediate impacts. Tsunami warnings were given to Chile itself, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Antarctica, Panama, and Costa Rica. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to our regular program My Indonesia, discussing about national leaders need to understand the values of the nation. Well, listener, the values of Indonesian nation are important for national leaders to understand a bit to formulate a policy, especially those who will be the stakeholders in the place where they vote by occupying strategic position. This was stated by Governor of National Resilience Institute, or Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, to the media on the sidelines of opening of 2018 Regular Education Program 57 at Lemhanas Building in Jakarta on Tuesday. Agus explained that those who occupied strategy positions must be insightful and they have a statesmanship attitude so they can actualize the values of the nation in the policies.
Tentang aspek-aspek yang bisa langsung menjawab persoalan-persoalan yang muncul dalam kekinian di lingkungan strategi.
It is about the aspect that can directly answer the problems that appear in the present environment and the strategic environment around us. Then we also supply with leadership-level strategy insights, visionaries, and the ability to conduct critical analysis. All of which are necessary for strategy-level leaders, at least it helps where someone serves. Agus Jo further said that the function and authorities granted constitutionally to Lemhanas are to implement education for national-level leaders. In the educational program, the nation's values have to be developed and disseminated. National candidates also conduct strategy assessment for the government. Agus Wijoyo views that the education program also disseminates and socializes the nation's values and consolidation through the participants who take part in the Lemhanas program. Agus also explained that the value of unity must be put forward by Indonesian nation. Moreover, there has been already an agreement with the founders of the nation, which is accommodated by the basic documents through Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia, and Unity in Diversity or Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRIA World Service Voice of Indonesia with News in Brief, I'm Din Nugraha. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla left for Afghanistan in the morning here on Tuesday for a visit until March 1st that will include sharing his experience with regard to Afghanistan's peace process. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited IMF Managing Director of International Monetary Fund Christine Lagarde to review a number of locations in Jakarta after they meet at the Merdeka Palace on Monday, February 26. The International Monetary Fund IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde said that Indonesia has a great strength in the textile and trading industries. Russia expresses readiness to help Indonesia in developing and strengthening its military field. The annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund, IMF and World Bank from October 8 to 14, 2018 in Bali will increase the circulations of money on the island to a minimum of $100 million or approximately 1.3 trillion rupiah. The press council will supervise the campaign and advertisement in the mass media. Press council chairman Joseph Stanley Adi Prasetyo said on Tuesday, February 27, supervision will be conducted on all news in the media, including breaking news and running text on television. The last item, Indonesian state-owned electricity company PLN will connect Gili Gede, a small island with great tourism potential in West Nusa Tenggara, with an undersea cable network to Lombok Island to supply electricity for both households and to support tourism on the island. Listener, that was News in Brief over at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Nidu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Bengkulu province to visit Curug Cair tourism object. Stay tuned. Listener, Bengkulu, one of the provinces in Sumatra, is known as the original habitat of Rafflesia arnoldi species, the largest flower in the world. Therefore, Bengkulu gets the nickname of the Rafflesia Earth. Bordered directly by the Indian Ocean and has a long and beautiful coastline, no wonder if the province has many beautiful beaches. Coastal attractions become one of the leading destinations in Bengkulu. Besides the beach, this province actually has other national tourist destinations. One of them is waterfall, or also known as Curug. The waterfall tour, which is visited by many tourists, is Curug Cai. This waterfall is worth to visit because of its beauty. Listener, Curug Cai is located in Bukit Village, Talang 4 Subdistrict, Central Bengkulu Regency. You can travel by land from Bengkulu City to the location with a distance of about 25 kilometers with a travel time of 45 minutes. When you arrive at the tourist site, to enter through the gate of Curug Cai, you are required to pay a parking fee of 2,000 only for two-wheeled vehicles and 4,000 rupiah per four-wheel vehicles. The trip will continue and you have to walk to the location about 200 meters through rubber plantation and 172 stairs to the waterfall area. Down the stairs is quite tiring because the slope is up to 45 degrees. listener, you will be amazed by the beauty of Curug Chai when you arrive on the site. This waterfall has 12 meters high. In the vicinity, there still grow towering trees that make the atmosphere is very cool. The Curug Chai has a pool with 15 to 20 meters area. The water is cold and clear, which is about 3 meters depth. You can directly jump into the waterfall pool to feel the freshness of the water. Listener, in addition to swimming on the pool under the Curug Chai waterfall, do not forget to enjoy every beautiful corner of the Curug Chai. If you are tired, you can sit on the bamboo chairs. There are two fairly large seats with 2 meter size. One seat is above the tree, precisely above the waterfall. From the top, you can see beautiful scenery surrounding Curug Chai location. The tourist area has not provided a restaurant, so if you visit the site, it's better to bring your own food supplies. Curug Chai Object has also well available with bathroom and toilets. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Curug Chai Waterfall in Bengkulu. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is pukul berapa, or in English, what time is it? Following, I will give you an example of a conversation on pukul berapa, or in English, what time is it? The conversation is between Tony from England and a taxi driver. Tony, pukul berapa sekarang, Pak? Taxi driver, sekarang pukul 11 lebih 10. Oh, tadi berangkat dari Jakarta? Iya. Pukul berapa Anda dari Jakarta? Sekitar pukul 9. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the vocabulary and phrases related to today's topic. I will say each word twice and you may repeat after me. Pukul berapa sekarang? Pukul berapa sekarang? In English, what time is it now? Lebih. Lewat. Lebih. Lewat. In English, past. Sebelas. Sebelas. In English, 11. 10, 10, 10, kurang, kurang,
less. 9. 9. 9. Pukul 11 lebih 10. Pukul 11 lebih 10. 10 past 11. Pukul 11 kurang 10. Pukul 11 kurang 10. 10 to 11. 15 menit. 15 menit. 15 minutes. Pukul 9 lebih 15 menit. Pukul 9 lebih 15 menit. 9:15. Pukul 9 kurang 1/4. Pukul 9 kurang 1/4. A quarter to 9. To say at 11:10, you can say at 11 or 10, or you can say at 11 past 10 minutes. At 10:15, you can say 10 o'clock past 15 minutes or 10:15. At 8:55 in Bahasa Indonesia, it's usually said 8 past 55 minutes, but it is more often said at 9:05. Next is a conversation above, but salah. Next is the conversation once again. Pukul berapa sekarang, Pak? Pukul berapa sekarang, Pak? What time is it now? Sekarang pukul 11 lebih 10. Sekarang pukul 11 lebih 10. Now is 11 past 10. Oh, tadi berangkat dari Jakarta. Did you leave from Jakarta? Ya. Pukul berapa Anda dari Jakarta? Pukul berapa Anda dari Jakarta? What time did you leave Jakarta? Sekitar pukul 9. Sekitar pukul 9. Around 9 o'clock. For official situation, for instance, in letters or schedule in Indonesia, there is a 24 hours time. So sometimes 8 o'clock means 8 in the morning or 8 a.m., while 20 hours means 8 o'clock p.m. So 3 o'clock means 3 a.m. and in conversation, to differ or to make it clear whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, Indonesia usually will put the word morning, or afternoon, or night. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today with the topic pukul berapa, or in English, what time is it? Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We will also hold a quiz with interesting prizes. Let's see you again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music. A musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Today, we'll present to you Dangdut music featuring Nasar. Let's listen to the first song entitled Kecanduan Kamu.
Tahir Nasar. Listen to the song Kecanduan Kamu by Nasar. The song which was composed by Adibal tells about loving someone sincerely. The song used repeated lyrics. This actually becomes gimmick or the poison of the song Kecanduan Kamu because the lyrics are easily remembered. The song was released in 2014 with the theme of Arabic dance. The music is quite different by collaborating Arabic music and EDM or electronic dance music. However, the music promoting aesthetic so that its musicality remains preserved well. Before we talk about the existence of Nasar and his singing career, let's again listen to the song by Nasar entitled Seperti Mati Lampu.
cintaku, ku persembahkan untukmu, hanya kepadamu. Oh, dan janganlah kau ragukan luasnya cintaku, yang putih tulus untukmu, hanya kepadamu. Luasnya laut, tak seluas cinta yang ku punya, tak sedalam cinta yang ku rasa, cintaku satu untukmu. Tingginya langit, tak setinggi kasih yang ku punya, tak setinggi kasih yang ku rasa, cintaku satu untukmu. Seperti mati lampu ya sayang, seperti mati lampu, cintaku tanpamu ya sayang, bagai malam tiada berlalu. Seperti mati lampu ya sayang, seperti mati lampu, cintaku tanpamu ya sayang, bagai malam tiada berlalu. Janganlah kau tanyakan besarnya cintaku, ku persembahkan untukmu, hanya kepadamu. Luas mulai, tak seluas cinta yang ku punya, tak sedalam cinta yang ku rasa, cintaku satu untukmu. Seperti mati lampu ya sayang, seperti mati lampu, cintaku tanpamu ya sayang, bagai malam tiada berlalu. Seperti mati lampu ya sayang, seperti mati lampu, cintaku tanpamu ya sayang, bagai malam tiada berlalu.
The singer with original name Nazar Fahad Ahmad Sungkar began to love singing since childhood. He also often appeared on many stages and followed several singing competitions. Nazar began to be known in the Indonesian dangdut music after winning the second champion in a country's dangdut music competition in 2004. In 2012, he released the first single entitled Gejolak Asmara. Successfully with his first single, Nazar then released various other singles, one of them, Seperti Mati Lampu, which you've just listened. The song, which was composed by Pasha Ungu, tells the story about someone who loved a man or woman very much. However, pop music nuance is also felt in this song. The song, which was released in 2013, like other Nazar songs, was well received by the dangdut music lovers in the country. To end the music corner for today, we'll play the last two songs entitled Gejolak Asmara and Mahadaya Cinta by Nazar Sungkar. Happy listening and see you again tomorrow. Bye for now.
Ay, 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 ay. Yeah.
ku mendamba gejolak asmara. Kini ku merasa padamu hai gara. Senyummu sungguh menawan, wajahmu ayu rupawan. Kemana mata memandang, hanyalah dirimu yang selalu terbayang. Ku mendamba gejolak asmara, kini ku merasa padamu hai dara. Sejak jumpa dia di suatu pesta, oh, apa yang ku rasa, hatiku berbunga. Lama ku mendamba gejolak asmara, kini ku merasa padamu hai dara. Senyummu sungguh menawan, wajahmu ayu rupawan. Kemana mata memandang, hanyalah dirimu yang selalu terbayang.
Aku tergila-gila akan indahnya cinta. Kau lesana bidadari menghiasi syurga ini, mahadaya cintanya yang abadi selamanya.
Voice of Indonesia.
For today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.